time for the best coverage of the top stories in sports. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
And good to have you with us on this Tuesday edition of the show. Lots to do over the next 60 minutes. Glad you've chosen to give us some of your time. Jason Cole, Hall of Fame selector for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, will drop by and spend a couple of segments with us. A bunch of items I want to whip around the league with him on. So we will do that. Also, I am going to try and sell Sam again on ABS. I'm going to make it my mission between now and the start of the season to make him see just how special ABS is, the automatic ball strike system for Major League Baseball. So we will get into some of that. A very thorny subject in the NCAA and the state of Texas suing the NCAA. You'll want to hear why coming up a little later on in the program. Some NFL tush-push talk as well, but we start things out in the NBA. Sam Yarnell's favorite sport. He is here to hang out with us to start the program today. I just got some random thoughts I want to whip around. Three things I want to go through. The first one, I was sitting here looking at the NBA standings and sort of, looking at where we are and taking stock and where we are here, 56, 57 games into the season, 58 games, depending on the team we're talking about. And we saw the Kings trade De'Aaron Fox to San Antonio and send him back into the Spurs to create this Wemby Fox duo that we'll see for years to come. Obviously not for the rest of this season, but obviously for years to come. And I look at where Sacramento is right now, and they're just a game behind Golden State for the ninth spot, in 10th in the West. And I know it's weird to start a show with the Sacramento Kings, but I had this thought and I had to flush it out today. You know what? I figured out today what the Sacramento Kings are, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way to either the Kings or what I'm about to compare them to, but you ever have like a hankering for like fast food? You're sitting there. I know you, Sam. I know you can pound them down with the best of them. And you're sitting there and you're like, man, I want like a McDonald's quarter pounder today or a Big Mac. And you go to McDonald's and you drive there and you're like, I'm going to go through the drive-thru. And the line's like 12 cars long because you went at the wrong time of the day. And you're just like, I don't want to deal with this. It's 12 cars. I'm not sitting here for a half hour waiting for a double quarter pounder. And you look across the street and there's that sad Burger King that's in your neighborhood. I love Burger King, but it's no McDonald's. It's no Wendy's. But you're looking across the street and there's Burger King. And Burger King's got like two cars in the drive-thru. And you're like, you know what? I really want a double quarter pounder today, or I want the Big Mac, but a Whopper will do. That's what the Sacramento Kings are. They're the Whopper. They're Burger King. They've got their, they got their duo now. They got Zach LaVine and the guy that won the title with DeMar DeRozan and Sabonis. And you're like, wow, look at that three there. And you're like, but you know what they are in reality? They're kind of the Whopper. They're what you eat when the line's too long at McDonald's. That's sort of what the Sacramento Kings are as I watch them just languishing in mediocrity.
So I'm going to say the basketball part on the front end before this turns into a complete fast food segment on the back end, because there are some takes I got to get in there. sorry about your other points. My biggest thing with the Kings was I was confused at the deadline when they made the moves they did, only because look at where they are in the standings, as Jason alluded to, and then look at the team that they've now constructed. Jason said it, right? They've got DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine on a middling team. Sure, throw Sabonis in there. The thing is, we've seen that before in Chicago, and it didn't go well. So I'm not sure like what exactly the Kings' thought process was in that it would go so much differently now that those guys are one, older, and two, both playing on the West Coast. maybe there was something there. I certainly never saw it. Now, obviously, Burger King, no offense. And if they want to come on and we can do Burger King picks, that would be great. But right now they're not a sponsor. So I'm comfortable saying worst fast food chain out
there.
You didn't even happen to mention the best national fast food chain. Again, no free ads, but it's clearly Taco Bell. Taco Bell, far and away the best. However, you being out there in Las Vegas, having access to some of the best fast food on the planet, between what do you have out there? You've got In-N-Out, you've got Del Taco, you've got Steak and Shake. My gosh, is there Culver's in Las Vegas? Because that
I haven't seen Culver's.
If there's Culver's in Las Vegas, I might have to move there.
Haven't seen Culver's. You know what it almost is? I'm actually holding in my hand the Sacramento Kings. I went to Costco last night. We did a Costco run last night, right? And I went to Costco, and I went to go get the Vitamin Water Zero. I've had this thing lately for Vitamin Water Zero. And I went in, and they had pallets of Vitamin Water Zero. And it was like $19.49 for, I don't know, it's 20 bottles. And I looked right next to it, and they had the Kirkland brand of vitamin water. Like, it's called Vitarain Zero, right?
Yep.
And I went there, and I was like, well, it's $7 less for, I think, like four more bottles. And I'm like, you know what? In a pinch, that's what the Kings are. They're Vitarain Zero. That's what the Sacramento Kings are. Because I went and tasted it this morning for the first time, and I'm like, eh, it'll pass, but it's no Vitamin Water Zero. That's sort of what the Kings are right now. They're the Vitarain Zero. That's what they are.
And next segment, we'll tell you what soda your favorite NFL team is.
If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? I don't know. I just couldn't help myself this morning. Tropical mango. Yeah, we're gonna shelve that one. I may go put this in the clubhouse where we live and just say, hey, if anybody wants it, here's a pallet of Vitarain Zero. Cause this just ain't cutting it. Just putting it out.
All right,
there.
What else do you have in the NBA?
Nothing. Because we used up 7 minutes of the segment on Vitarain Zero, Burger King, and the Sacramento Kings. But it's really interesting, and I did bring it up for the reason that I'm thinking about Luka and LeBron and Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, and Jokic, who had 19 assists last night, which I actually planned to talk about in this segment, but we ran out of time because we were too busy making fun of Burger King and the Sacramento Kings. You know, and the Warriors now adding Jimmy Butler, and Butler with Draymond Green and Steph Curry. And then you just look at Sacramento. And you talk about the Kings, you know. Kings, Lakers, Warriors, all in the same state. And Sacramento just feels like kind of the... Meh. It's Burger
They're
King.
They're like the Clippers. I mean, the Clippers
it's like
are
like Jack
same,
in the Box. In a pinch, it'll do. We're coming back. Coming up in 10 minutes, our friend Jason Cole, Pro Football Hall of Fame selector, NFL author, historian. Get some thoughts with him on some items around the league, including this one, which I'll now discuss with our fast food connoisseur, Sam Yarnell. Well, we're hearing about NFL rule changes. Yesterday we talked about potential rules changes taking place with the kickoff. And now... word that somebody is trying to ban the tush push, which, look, it doesn't surprise me. People can't stop it. It's almost impossible to defend when it's coming from the Eagles and the Bills, apparently, who are getting it done at a far higher rate than other teams around the league, which I think the league averages around 73%, and the two of them are around 86 or 87%, something like that. And there's something I want to get to on that as well. But everybody was wondering yesterday, who was the team? Because Troy Vincent said there was one team that had put in a request. Now remember, you need 24 teams to get on board with this, and I think that's going to be very challenging. But who is the one team? Well, as it turns out, CBS Sports is reporting that team is the Green Bay Packers. Now, we'll get to them in a second. But if we're talking about a player safety issue in this league, and we try to stop leverage on kicks. You know, we try to stop these different things that are potentially harmful to players. We've got, you know, all this concussion protocol and talks about the slide and all these different things we're trying to do to protect players. Late hits, hits around the legs. Why is the NFL still allowing this to go? When even, you know, even its biggest defenders talk about the potential harm. We've heard Jason Kelce talk about the potential harm. Just how difficult it is from a physicality standpoint to pull off this play. That it looks more like a rugby play. It doesn't really look like a football play. Sam, is it time to ban the tush push? It almost feels like, can I throw one more in before you answer that? I got one more. It almost feels like when I was a kid and I would play Madden on like the PS2, and you'd always be able to use that move around the corner. It was like a cheat code where you could just get around the corner and block every extra point. Like I blocked every extra point and my friends hated me. It's almost like that. Like it just feels like a cheating sort of play because you can't stop it because of the way it operates. With, you know, again, defensive players on their heels, offensive players moving forward, it just feels like an automatic cheat to me.
I hear you. So, like, obviously, practically, it's not going to get banned, right? Because you can count seven teams that do it, or eight teams that do it, and that's what it takes, right? You need eight teams that do it so that you have eight owners that go into that meeting and say, hey, I'm going to vote against this. I like scoring touchdowns and making money. So practically, this is never going to get banned. Now, in theory, should it is the question that we're trying to answer at this point.
Yeah.
And like the player safety argument is valid. It is. I think that we are at a juncture in football specifically, where we are changing a lot of things a lot faster than we ever have before within the rules of the game. So banning one certain play or one type of play only adds to that, right? I know that the team that most prominently does it just won the Super Bowl, and that's definitely why it is being so hotly debated, right? If the Eagles were eliminated wild card weekend by the Buccaneers, this would not be a conversation right now, right? If the Commanders went in and won the NFC Championship in Philadelphia, we wouldn't be talking about this.
I think you're right.
But the team that does it as successfully as they do won the Super Bowl. So now everyone wants to come out and make someone or make something that really is nothing and add to this kind of this massive pile of rule changes that we've grown to just become normalized to over the last 4 to 5 years.
The Packers were the team, by the way, that snitched. Said they want it banned, which is kind of, yes, Sam, go ahead.
I wonder why.
Oh God, poor Jordan Love. Jordan Love, like it isn't bad enough for Jordan Love right now.
I feel worse for the right guard. Look at what he does. He just falls on him.
Some teams know how to pull it off, and some teams are. Well, Jordan Love falling all
and
over
then,
his...
And then Jordan Love and the right center guard. Look at each other like, hey, man, what was I supposed to do there? I don't know. Maybe don't jump on the back of your right guard.
I got a quick point I want to make on the Bills on this, and we'll do that in just a moment after a word from our friends at Credit Associates. Are you $10,000 or more in credit card debt in over your head trying to make monthly payments? Well, there's a powerful debt relief program that credit card companies don't want you to know about. Overcome the debt trap of multiple credit cards, high payments, and high interest rates that keep you in debt for decades. Who wants that? You can do this with one affordable low monthly payment thanks to our friends at Credit Associates. The debt relief program they have can help you resolve your debt in as little as 24 to 36 months. It'll save you thousands of dollars and decades in debt. What are you waiting for? Call them now. Find out how much you could save at 1-800-747-5362. Again, 1-800-747-5362. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you owe it to yourself to give them a call. 1-800-747-5362. Credit Associates, or just scan the QR code below. Sean McDermott is actually one of the most vocal people when it comes to the idea of banning the tush push, even though his team uses it tons. Now, he says they use it a little different, and he talked about the injury part of it. So it was kind of funny to me because I'm sitting here saying, well, you use it a ton, but you're talking about how dangerous it is from a physicality standpoint and the potential of injuries. It's kind of odd, but go ahead.
All right, let me stop you right there, because this is another piece of Sean McDermott's fuel to the fire against Josh Allen's running. Sean McDermott has been so vocally against Josh Allen using his legs throughout a large contingent of his career, right? And when Josh Allen broke his hand this past year, it was on a tush push. So Sean McDermott is just a little bit sour, and this is how he's taking it out.
On his own team, which is really good at the tush push. It's kind of funny. We'll see what happens with it. I doubt they'll be able to get 24 teams on board. I also want to see what Jason Cole has to say about it. All things NFL coming up with him. Sam will join us later in the show for odds and ends. Lots more to do on this Tuesday edition of Sports Wrap. All right, we continue on this Tuesday edition of the show. Figured we'd have some fun around the NFL. When I think fun, I think of this guy, Jason Cole. Jason Cole, Hall of Fame selector, author, Shut Up, Your Kid Is Not That Great, with an introduction from Tom Brady Sr. In it, author of many other fine books as well, John Elway. He wrote about John Elway, so. Always good to have
Plaxico Burress.
Plaxico Burress.
Ocho Cinco. My favorite one is the only, well, the Elway one's my favorite, but then I wrote one about a gentleman who had a heart transplant.
Yes.
And came back and played professional soccer. Amazing. That's a great story.
Yep. Just go and look them up. Amazon, wherever you get your books. And Shut Up, Your Kid Is Not That Great, obviously available as well. And I was just learning things about Jason off the air that I never knew as well, that he was apparently he's a fantastic cook and baker.
I am. All that stuff. I am. That is absolutely true.
I'm amazed. All these years and the things I still learn about you. So we were just talking about it in the last segment, the tush push. There's no way they're ever going to get 24 teams on the same page to ban this, are they?
Probably not. I think there are some legitimate concerns. And this has to do with sort of the push and pull of where the game is going in terms of what the defense is allowed to do in terms of tackling and hitting versus what the offense is now being allowed to take advantage of, right? So you're saying to me, I can't do things to hit you below the knees at certain times. I can't hit you high. I can only strike you here. But now you're going to allow the offense to basically impose will and overpower downfield or, at the line of scrimmage like this and get help to mow me down when I'm limited in how I can hit you. And then furthermore, and I was just talking to James Lofton about this, the pushing that goes on downfield, like a guy catches a ball and then you get a bunch of guys who hustle downfield and push him forward, right? Because the tacklers, are only allowed to hit in a certain spot, right? And so they're pushing guys forward for an extra 4, 5, 6 yards, right? Well, that's part of the push and pull of what you allow defense to do versus what you allow the offense to do. And so I think there's some logic to what they're talking about with the tush push. I don't think you can really regulate it that effectively. It's sort of like the rule they put in on the hip drop tackle. They talked about it last year, but they didn't actually couldn't really enforce it because it's hard to see in live action, right? So I don't think it'll pass, but I think that I think it's going to prompt discussion about where we're going with the physicality of the game.
Would a prominent injury change that calculus? Because there hasn't really been any huge injuries with regard to it. If there were, like what happened with Tom Brady, everything changed when Tom Brady got hit in the knee and they instituted this rule about quarterbacks getting hit low. You know, where players sort of lunge at their legs. Oh, and that,
yeah, right. I mean, the most famous one of that is Bo Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. The horse collar tackle.
Yep.
Right, where Bo's career was essentially ended. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes it takes traumatic things, but I mean, how much do you have to listen to Jason Kelce say,
"Yes,
I hated doing this. I understand why we did it, but I hated it because I knew what it was doing to my body," right? I mean, how much more do you have to hear than a player say this is an awful thing to do, right? And so I'm always of the, I was having this conversation with James Lofton, and I said, I really think the players are the ones who need to get together. Instead of the league and the coaches and all these other things, get the players and the coaches together and say, okay, how do we want to play this game? Mm. Okay, and then the owners have to say back to them, you have to give us a certain amount of waiver of liability if you're setting the rules. Set the rules how you want to set them for football. You can change them as you go, but we can't be liable. If you're going to say it's okay to use your head in the blocking and tackling, you can't make us then liable for CTE. We're going to regulate it. We're going to, you know, if you get concussions, we got to pull you out of the game. But you can't make us liable if you're setting the rules for the game. And I think there has to be sort of a grown-up discussion like that. We're probably a long way from that happening.
One more on the rule changes. They were talking about kickoffs and trying to, you know, tweak the dynamic kickoff, or maybe something with onside kicks where you go to a 4th and 15 or a 4th and 20. I applaud the league that they're at least trying something with regard to kickoffs, whether sure. it be the onside kicks. You know, because so many times we criticize this league and other leagues for acting too late. I don't care if they try something new every year. Just try something until you find something that works when it comes to kickoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
because it sucks right now. I mean, kickoffs in this league suck.
But I think there were more returns this year than there were in previous years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a manipulated thing and it's boring. And I get it. It's taken some of the excitement out of the game. But you know, like kickers had already taken excitement out of the kickoff already, right? Because kickers are so good now.
And back them up to the 20. Have them kick off from the 20.
It's possible, but what you're really trying to avoid, and I agree with this because it's scary for some of those dudes, is you get a guy running full speed from 40, 50 yards,
yeah.
and he's running headlong into a guy who's maybe, you know, setting up to block. Like, that's not really healthy for either guy and for really a minimal payoff. Right, a minimal payoff in terms of the impact that you have on a game. I know the play is exciting when it's executed, but it's super dangerous.
How about on the onside kick, real quick here, with a minute left in this segment?
I just think that, you know, anything you can do to increase the onside kick or increase the variability or allow it to happen during a regular game. And again, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth a little bit, but yeah, I want to have the onside kick and I want to have the element of surprise to it.
Do you like, so you don't like the idea of a 4th and 15 or a 4th and 20?
No, I like that too. I like that as a possibility. I think that's more exciting than, I think that's going to be more exciting than what you currently have. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I agree with that as well. I think that would be the way to go. And I think you'd see a lot of them converted. I think you'd see a lot of them converted.
You see some pass interferences, I'll say that, and there'd be a lot of controversy about that.
that's true as well.
So you want your combine question? You want to get that?
Yeah, I'm gonna hold you. We're gonna get to the combine. I wanna ask you about the combine. We'll do that with Jason good. Cole, who's hanging out with us on Sports Wrap. Don't go anywhere. One more segment on the NFL with our friend Jason Cole, Pro Football Hall of Fame selector, author, Shut Up Your Kid Is Not That Great, among many other books. That's the only one I physically have, so that's the one I got. That's the one I got to go with.
You gotta get the Elway book. You can order that. You can find that.
Yeah,
you'll like that book. You really would. You like good football history.
I do. I want to ask you about the combine. We were talking about it yesterday on the show. Shedeur Sanders is is not gonna work out at the combine, not gonna throw at the combine. And then you hear Abdul Carter's not gonna do it at the combine. And you hear all these different players that year in and year out, it feels like the combine is sort of being devalued more and more every year. Yeah, if you're a guy that's projected second, third, fourth round, you might go and work out for the teams there. But how much over the years from when, you know, for how long you've been covering the league, where the scouting combine was to what it is turned into now?
Well, it's just a TV show now. And it's the whole combine has been sort of become kind of a clown show where it's lost its intended purpose. And even the people in the league don't like to go anymore because it's not like you get a lot of coaches who are like, look, I can be much more effective watching this on tape. You know, watching interviews on tape and not going and not having to be bothered by fans, right? It's become a fan fest for a lot of people, which, you know, again, takes away from the value proposition of working on football.
And the seriousness of it. I mean, because this is serious business.
It's business. And so... yeah, they've devalued it. It's, you know, that's happened at the combine. It's happened at the Senior Bowl. It's happened at a lot of events where you're just trying to turn it into a money making operation. And so, to get back to your original question, however, look, I don't understand why a lot of guys work out to begin with. I understand if you're outside the first round, of course, you're trying to jockey for position and you're trying to prove that you're a better athlete or that your injuries don't make that much of a difference. I think that unfortunately the guys who don't work out well, it exposes them a lot and exposes them now on TV and they don't want to be exposed that way. So if you're a really good football player and you have a great resume that you've proven from college, okay, look at my tape. Yeah, you can judge me. John Elway did not work out at the combine. He didn't even go to the combine way back when because he had a knee injury. And he didn't want the teams to see the knee injury and get a full test on it. He's like, no, I'm not going to do that. So this has been going on for a long time where guys don't participate. And if you're a great football player, you shouldn't have to participate. You shouldn't need this. But there are some guys, you know, that inevitably say, hey, look, I can run really, really fast. And if I can do that at the combine, run, you know, I'm John Ross and I can run a 4.2 40. That's going to get me drafted in the first round. I'm going to make millions of dollars because of that. I'm running all day. You know, Mike Mamula famously, you know, ran a 4.4 as a linebacker coming out of, what was it, Boston College, I think. Yeah. All of a sudden, he was like, I think the number 9 pick in the draft, something like that, by the Eagles. Made himself a lot of money that way. So I understand why you work out, and I really understand why you don't. But I also, the biggest thing to me is, I don't want to be on tape making a fool of myself a lot of time and degrading my value if I'm a player. Because the people who are watching this don't really understand that the 40-yard dash has nothing to do with whether I'm a good football player.
But it's really interesting because we were talking about it yesterday. You know, Shedeur Sanders throughout the whole year was highly touted as, you know, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. And then all of a sudden the season ended and everybody took a breath and stepped back, started watching tape on him and said, well, maybe he's not as good as all the hype that went on throughout the season. And I kind of compared it yesterday on the show to why we have cooling off periods before we vote for the Hall of Fame, because when you cool off and you take a step back and you take a deeper dive or a deeper look at something, sometimes your opinion changes. And it feels like that's what's happened with Shedeur Sanders.
Well, there's also, look, there's the natural hype that goes with television, okay? Yeah. And you're trying to sell a game, right? So, you know, if you're ABC or you're CBS or you're ESPN or whatever, you know, whoever it happens to be, I don't blame them. They're like, Shedeur Sanders, he could be the number one pick in the draft. You need to watch this guy. Right. Travis Hunter, he could be the number one pick in the draft. You need to, you know, Cam Ward, number one pick. The kid, the running back from Boise State. Yeah. You know, you need to watch. This is potential number one pick. So we automatically selling these kids from the beginning and overhyping them and blowing them up. And then, yes, the professional people come in. But the professional people have been doing this since the beginning of the year if you talk to the scouts. Because if you talk to the scouts about Shedeur Sanders all the way there along, they're like, he's probably second-round pick talent when it comes to quarterbacks. He's going to go in the first. Could go number one overall. Like this is the learned people have been out there. But we don't listen to the learned people in the middle of the college football season because we're just getting hyped for it. And that's okay. You know, like this is just the natural progression of things.
Real quick before I let you go, Travis Hunter. Do you envision a pitch count for him, a snap count for him, or can he legitimately play as much on both sides of the ball as some have considered?
Not an NFL season. Not playing 17, 18 games.
Jason Cole does a great job on the NFL. Check out his book, Shut Up, Your Kid Is Not That Great, in addition to his many other books. Always appreciate you, my friend. Be well. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We're coming back. For being with us. Good to have you here on this Tuesday edition of Sports Wrap. Again, a reminder, tomorrow, Kurt Heelan drops by, pro basketball talk at NBCSports.com. Always fun to hang out with him. My man Vladimir Louisant will be with us on the show. He's our Wednesday B chair. So we'll have all of that and a whole bunch more on tomorrow's show. Thanks again to Jason Cole for dropping by as well. Pro Football Hall of Fame selector and a fantastic author. Check out any one of his many books. Odds and ends coming up in 10 minutes. I'll try to convince Sam that ABS, the automatic ball strike system, is a good thing. But I got to talk about something, and we have brought it up, this topic, and gotten into it from time to time on the show. And I think it's an important subject that we continue to discuss because it's a topic that isn't going away. And there are many levels to it and branches off of the story about transgender athletes in sports. Now, despite the fact that transgender athletes in sports make up a tiny, minute fraction of those that are playing sports, it is the topic of transgender females, born biologically male, competing in female sports that continues to be a hot-button issue. It's a wedge issue. It's a topic that's being used to divide Americans. It's a topic that's being used, in some regards, to demonize a very small subset of an already small subset of America, which is the LGBTQ+ community. And as somebody who identifies with the LGBTQ+ community, I have an obligation to use my platform to discuss this topic. And I'm not discussing it from the angle that you think I'm going to, where I'm just going to say, all transgender athletes should be allowed in sports, and I don't care what you're born, if you want to play in this sport or that sport, male, female, born biologically male, you're transgender female, you're transgender male, you should be able to play. That isn't my stance on this. It has never been my stance on this. My stance on it has always been that it's a very complicated issue. That it is a subject that requires nuance. It is a subject that requires, I think, a case-by-case study. Because there are so few of these cases of transgender females playing sports with biological females, because there's so few of them, I think each one has to be taken on its own merits. And that gets into testosterone levels versus hormone levels versus, when did you start this process versus where you are now. It is not just a one-size-fits-all thing. And I have said this repeatedly, and no matter how many times I say it, I will get a message from somebody who will hit me up on my ex at the back page. Formerly Twitter, and they'll say, "Oh, you're lobbying for transgender athletes and men playing in women's sports." No, I'm not. I'm saying it's a very complicated subject that, you know, a transgender female athlete born biologically male competing in boxing or competing in UFC is far different than one competing maybe in golf or bowling. And obviously we don't see these issues in a lot of the mainstream sports. We're not seeing it in basketball or football or baseball or anything like that. But one of the things that prompted me to bring this up is the man on the screen, the attorney general in the state of Texas, Ken Paxton, has filed a lawsuit. The AG has filed a lawsuit against the NCAA. And he's filed a lawsuit on behalf of the state in order to, quote, immediately begin screening the sex of student athletes. Now, just take a step back for a second. No matter where you stand on this issue, take a step back. Because what he's really saying is, we want to screen all female athletes. Because you don't hear about people complaining about females, born female athletes who transition and become transgender males, You don't hear about anybody saying, well, we need to ban transgender males from, you know, cis male sports. No, because nobody feels threatened by it. But there is the threat, the perceived threat of born male athletes who transition to become female playing in women's sports, typical, you know, your everyday women's sports. And when I see Ken Paxton say that he wants gender screening for female athletes, I think of just how mentally damaging, how psychologically imposing that sort of request is. And forget that we're already in a time where there's enough, older white males who are deciding how women's bodies should be handled. And let's just say that that's a completely different topic. But it is part of the broader conversation here. Now you have this man in Texas, Ken Paxton, saying, well, we're going to go a step further and we want to know. We want to know what's down there before you're allowed to participate in female sports at the NCAA level. Take a step back, no matter where you stand on this issue, if you're a mother, if you're a father, and tell me how you would feel if your daughter had to go through something that humiliating, that embarrassing. Who's carrying it out? How are they carrying it out? How can you ensure the safety of your daughter when she's being screened for her gender? Something to consider on this Tuesday edition of Sports Wrap. A very complicated issue, but one that isn't going away anytime soon. We'll continue with Odds and Ends next. Just about time to put the wraps on this baby for a Tuesday. Wednesday show means Vlad Lewison hangs out with us. Wednesday show means Kurt Heelan hangs out with us. Talk some NBA with him. See what he thinks of my Sacramento Kings Burger King comparison. Yeah, we talked fast food in the show today. Why not? Some reminders. Sports Wrap with Jason Page, the podcast version of the show. Available each and every day on all your favorite podcasting platforms. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Odyssey, you name it, anywhere you get your podcasts. Amazon. We're also going to be putting the show up on YouTube soon, so you'll actually be able to watch the show on YouTube. Right now you can listen to the show through YouTube Podcasts. We will soon be making the show available through YouTube on the video side as well. Did you know YouTube right now is the biggest thing in television, like regular YouTube? It's kind of weird. But YouTube itself, more people now watch YouTube on television than they do on any other platform, phone, app, all that stuff. Anyway, just a random thing I thought I'd throw out there. Without any further delay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for some odds and ends. Sam Yarnell, presented by our friends at Credit Associates. Are you $10,000 or more in credit card debt in over your head trying to make monthly payments? There's a powerful debt relief program the credit card companies don't want you to know about. Overcome the debt trap of multiple credit cards, high payments, and high interest rates that keep you in debt for decades, and you can do it with one affordable low monthly payment. It is halfuary in this February. Credit Associates Debt Relief Program can help you resolve your debt in as little as 24 to 36 months. That's going to save you thousands of dollars and decades in debt. Find out how much you can save right now. Call 1-800-747-5362. That's 1-800-747-5362, or just scan the QR code below. Sam Yarnell, can I interest you in ABS? I asked you this yesterday and you said no. And then I saw video, more video, compelling video of a game yesterday. I think it was like 14-1 in the ninth inning. And umpire made a called third strike, and it wasn't a called third strike, and the batter walked, and the pitcher came out. The umpire thought it was strike three, reviewed and go the umpire's way, and then the manager walks out and says, "I'm going to do a pitching change in the ninth inning with two outs in a 14-1 game."
Good. Good.
And that umpire had to sit there for eight Good. Minutes while they made a pitching change.
Good.
And but it got me to thinking, as much as you may not like it, a called third strike to end the game in a tight spot, bases loaded, two outs, 3-2 pitch. I mean, how many times do we see this stuff? Don't you want the call to be right at the end of the day? In those situations where it's just so important. You know, it's like in the NBA. We have video review with, you know, we used to have the automatic review under 2 minutes, or the NFL has automatic review under 2 minutes. Shouldn't there be spots, even if you don't like ABS, shouldn't there be spots where it should be used?
All right, so let me walk you through the other side of this, right? Say I'm, you know, I'm a career AAA baseball player. Maybe, you know, I'll sneak a spot on the 40 man this year. Be up and down. It's the last inning of this 14-1 game. Arbitrary numbers here. We'll say it started at noon. I got to work at, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock this morning to do my, you know, pregame work, get all my lifts in, all that stuff before the game. Sure. I've been at work since, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. It's game started at noon. We'll call it 2:20 now. We're in Florida because it's spring training, or even Arizona. It's nice outside, and I got to go back up north in a couple of months to be back home in, you know, 45, 50 degree weather. I'm going to take advantage of the golf course. Jason Page is a golfer. You can see the golf clubs right behind him. This guy knows what I'm talking about. So me as this AAA ball player, I'm going to make a tee time, and hey, I want to get out of work and I want to go straight to the course. I'm going to make that tee time for 3:15. We'll be conservative here. Game's not going to take more than 2 hours and 45 minutes. Give me a half hour to get to the course. Bada bing, bada boom. All right, strike three's called. Game's 14-1. I don't want to waste my time out here in left field anymore. Let me start jogging my way in. Whoa, he's tapping his head. What is this guy doing? Tapping his head. Oh, my goodness, it's a ball. Now there's a pitching change. Now I'm not going to be out of here till 3:15. I'm going to be late for my tee time. I'll have to call the pro shop. The starter's going to be annoying because the starter's always annoying when you show up late. You have single-handedly ruined this guy's day in one of the only good months of the year that he has, when he can leave work and walk onto the golf course. So thank you, ABS. This is what you're doing to people.
Wow. Took me a long time to land the plane, but you did. You got it there. You got it there just in the nick of time. So another day passes. We haven't gotten Sam on board yet. Last but not least, you ever wonder how big NBA players are? This is Shohei Ohtani, who is 6'4". Obviously one of the biggest stars in all of sports. Standing next to a star, well, a guy who used to be a pretty good college basketball player. And a guy that is 7'6". Just thought it would be interesting to see what Shohei Ohtani looks like standing next to somebody who's 7'6". Former UC Irvine player, Mamadou Ndiaye. 7'6".
That's a combined height of 13'10" for those of you keeping track at home.
7'6". I once stood next to Hashim Thabeet inside an elevator. It was like 7'6" or 7'4". Can't appreciate how big these guys are. That does it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow.